Roll call vote. Director Booth?
Aye.
Director Israel?
Aye.
Director Wargo?
Aye.
Director Davis?
Aye.
Director Link?
Aye. Next item, warrants none, awards of contract none. Next item, update Sangre Bueno Pass Water Alliance update. Mrs. Israel?
Okay, it's a lot. There's a lot going on. We discussed the integrated, it's called the IRWM plan, the planning. This guy named Bruce Cash came in, and he's with this company called Southwest, who wanted to front the money to cover the application, which is $60,000, and we weren't going for it. He was a lot, really going to town about how he's gonna do this and his company's gonna do that. So we didn't go with him. We had a meeting today that the flood control is going to, we're working with flood control, who's going to do the $60,000. And we already have the consultants, and that's who we met with today. And so last night at the San Antonio Pass Water Agency, Bruce Cash decided he's going to get there and let the San Antonio Pass Water Agency know that him and I think it was 20 entities are going to go against the alliance and do the same process that we're going to do. So.
Did you say what entities?
I can address a little bit of that issue if you're okay with that.
Please.
We had a meeting after the meeting. We were all shell shocked.
So we can hear you? We're all deaf over here.
I talk so softly too. So.
Turn the mic on.
There's a little button in front.
Boy, this reminds me of being at home. It's how my wife does it, so. Okay. when we met afterwards, and this is, I guess it's not all factual, but the question that Maxine was there, I asked Bruce if contact had been made with the 20 entities. Now, he alleged in the meeting that the contact had been made and that there were 20 people on board. Whenever I confronted him about the issue, none of them had been contacted. And so there is no panel or anybody set up at this time. They did say they were filing for a 501c3, that they would, I guess that they would go from there. To be honest with you, our board was a little bit upset. And a little bit taken back because probably this should have went through the general manager and Jeff could have made a report to us on it. But Bruce came and asked to speak to the meeting and spoke, and his comments were pretty damning of Debbie, saying that she wasn't returning his calls. But I could understand why after we started getting all the facts together, and that was that there was not a lot of truth going on in the conversation. And it was unfortunate, and I like Bruce as an individual. He's a real good businessman. I mean, very, you probably know him.
Yeah.
And I mean, just very, very straightforward generally about what he does. but he just got up in the meeting and totally slammed the alliance and anybody associated with it, so to speak. And that was unfortunate because it did alienate a lot of people. And unfortunately, at our meeting, a lot of people walked out because they weren't happy with the comments. And we didn't really comment on the comments as a board afterwards. We just kind of met for a few minutes and discussed it with Jeff and trying to figure out what was the best approach to go. So Jeff's going to meet with Bruce and try and iron this out and see if we can get just one entity handling the getting the Prop 1 money. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Jeff was even shocked. Our attorney could see when, holy cow.
Yeah.
How do we turn this guy off? We just let him talk for about 5 minutes and that was it. Thanks.
appreciate that.
Thank you. So we were talking, you know, we finally got where we are with the meeting we had today. The list of people that are so far involved is the city of Banning, Santa Borneo Pass Water Agency, Cabs on Water, Morongo is kind of empty right now, High Valley, Mission Springs, Banning Heights, and that's where it stands right now. That's who was called at the meeting. And we just went over the program overview, the Prompt 1 planning, the schedule. The application is actually due on September 23rd at 5 p.m. So there's going to be a lot of meetings and stuff involved. So that's where we're at right now.
Do you need more support at the meeting?
As of right now, no.
Okay. I've gone to the meetings and interjected my thoughts and stuff, but I want to respect your...
The only time I'm going to need anything is if Kevin or I can't make it.
No, it's okay.
So that's like...
Okay.
There's on, you know, Calvin wasn't able to make it today. I was able to get there. So I had it covered, but...
Mm-hmm. Just offering support.
You're all so good to have.
Yes, sir. A couple of questions that are just curiosity from our standpoint, because I'm not the liaison from our board to that. One is, do you have legal representation?
The board itself?
Yeah.
The Alliance?
Yeah.
From what I understand, we haven't got that far yet. But I do know we have RMCA who's doing our paperwork. But I don't think, as far as I know, we haven't discussed who our council is going to be.
Yeah, because of what's going on with Bruce and everything, I think we actually need to get somebody to...
They didn't report out.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, and I was going to bring that up at our next meeting.
He's going to roll over you like a steamroller. That's the way he operates.
Yeah, our next meeting is on the 24th, so that's what I was going to bring up there.
All right. And you know, there's pros and cons to what he's doing. The county has specific requirements for... And so if you don't start meeting those requirements on that charter, you're probably going to lose the charter from the county and the funding. So it would be a good idea to get some legal advice, and even if Steve wanted to, you know, maybe you could borrow him for a day or two and take him to the meeting and let him take a look at what you guys are doing and maybe just get you going in the right direction. Just a suggestion.
Good idea. So that's where I'm at.
Any comments, Mr. Anderson?
No, I mean, Bruce Cash has been around for a long time. He pursues kind of this conservation water stuff all over the county, actually, from the west end over here. And so I guess I haven't been involved enough, but is the idea that he wants to be the entity that the regional alliance uses to put forward all these applications, kind of a sort of lobbyist for it? Is that what he's aiming to do?
That's how I took it, but I also took it as... I mean, I could be wrong because I don't know the man, but my first impression of him is he's up to something. That, you know what I mean? He's just like a snake in the grass type deal, you know?
Is he suggesting, I'm sorry I missed some of this, but is he suggesting that he's going to put together a group of 20 other agencies to to go after the same money that you guys want to get?
Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly.
But have they adopted an integrated regional water management plan, these other agencies? I just...
That's the thing, they haven't done it.
You haven't done it?
No, we're doing what's called a RAP.
This is why, Bruce started out as a part of the elite team under Mary Ashley for all these little projects Mary was doing to make them happen. And he got really good at it. And then he developed one business, and now business, there's 10 businesses that are under his umbrella, if I remember right. And his objective is to make money. Okay, so he figures he can make money through the 501c3, which is a nonprofit organization that they've organized, by selling whatever he sells to the water agencies. Water agencies are underneath that umbrella. And he so far has been very good at it. Now, you have to understand, Bruce is not a dummy. Okay, and he will not do anything that will be illegal. In other words, he will make sure legal counsel directs him in the right direction and he'll do what's legal. But he will make money out of it. He's good at it. And he has a lot of support from a lot of people. So, that's why I say, have them take a look at the charter, figure out why you're not going the direction you're supposed to be going, and get back on track so that Mary Ashley doesn't pull the plug on you guys and maybe have no money. Other than what the agency, our agency, gives you, and $500 from each of the entities that are involved in it is not going to keep you alive. And do me a favor, don't use my name as part of, I'm just telling you guys this because, but don't use my name as part of this situation because I'm telling you some things that probably borderline. I feel okay. If I didn't feel comfortable with it, I would tell you. I feel okay about it. But just when you approach it, just say, I'd like to look at these things. I'd like to look at this. I'd like to look at this. And when you go to the next meeting, if you have questions, call me and we'll go over it over the phone and then you start asking questions, which will get you in the right direction.
It's always been funny about this, and again, operating from a first grade level here, is that most of the other integrated regional water management plans around the state, separate areas by watershed. And here, right between in the middle of your group, is the Colorado River watershed versus going to the ocean, right, versus San Juan River. And so
that's
for you to put a plan together to cover sort of little pieces of both of those is a task. That's going to be a task.
Yeah, so the area.
So if I were Bruce, and I don't know anything about this, I'd try to grab everything on the west side on one hand and then go over and hang out with these guys on the other hand. Try to split your group.
But you're talking 20 agencies, too. You're talking covering a lot of area.
Well, is he going to people? Is he going to the Valley District and all those guys?
He must be going somewhere else because there are not 20 in our address.
So the west side guys over there, Valley District, Redlands, Yucaipa, all those folks are also part of what's going on in the east side of the San Fernando Valley.
Yep, that's
so I don't know whether, SAPA's mostly in Riverside.
I don't think Yucaipa's buying into it. They're part
the area we're going for
their,
isn't even, it's not even in any, it's one of the areas that haven't even been.
Recovered.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because according to my understanding of the map and the borderline of the Colorado Basin is pretty much almost the hard rate,
yeah,
roughly. And so the monies that are sitting there, Prop 1A, there's so much that's been delegated to the Colorado Basin.
Right.
And so the guys on the West End, they can't touch it, it can't be used for that. It has to be used from the harbor this way. Coachella Valley already has their own group.
Yeah.
So this is kind of, in some respects, the last group populated area of the Colorado Basin. Does that sound pretty much it? So these 20 agencies, how are they going to get any of that money? It can't go to them. So how are they going to stop that?
Because one of the questions that was asked was, why isn't our region part of the Coachella Valley or SAPA?
Because we're at.
And that's because we're right in the middle.
Yeah.
We don't belong to either one.
Right. Because this was a question she had and I had was about
joining Coachella Valley. But they're not going to want to drag the rest of us in there and have us dealing with that. So unless he's getting those agencies to fight the issue, which I don't see happening, because they don't want to upset their apple cart. They'll lose some of that pool, possibly, but.
Okay. Well, I'm happy to look at that charter if you want, and we can find somebody else to help.
It's set up so that it's kind of a building type thing for pretty much any agency that can get from.
Yeah, I don't have that map.
But so. Certain amounts are delegated to certain
and in one, a couple of pieces of the pie are split up that way.
Right.
Some of them aren't, though. There's some piece of
See,
pie.
See, the whole thing is the Cabazon watershed itself isn't in either one. But that's one of the maps they had today. And it was like, wow.
Well, not really. You're in the water. You're in the white water. Over here, you're in the white water.
Right,
the
but what I'm saying is for the WDR, I don't know if I said that right.
IWR.
Yeah, we're not in any
Integrated Regional Watershed Management.
Yeah, we're not in anything. There's us, and everybody is colored around us.
Well,
there's not white street.
Yeah, set up your own. That's what you did. So.
All
right. Well, if you need some help, let me know, or we can find somebody else.
So that's your story, and you're sticking to it.
You know it.
Okay. Mr. Louie, thank you, Bruce, for coming.
You're welcome.
Sharing. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Ron.
Ron, that's Ron.
I don't know. That's okay.
We were talking about Bruce.
You're on.
My turn.
Yeah,
all right.
Major's operation report.
We're going to have orientation for a new employee Thursday. It consists of operation administrative and water operations. And then in the afternoon, we'll take a tour and I'll have a bunch of hands-on exercises, including the office assistant to perform, because I think it's be beneficial for the office assistant to know what's going on out in the field, because she's going to be, assisting Ellie and Ellen with a lot of paperwork that we do on the administrative side. Some of the topics that I'm going to go over with the water operators is, we're all certified operators, but each system has its own character and characteristic. Like, after being here a decade running the system, I can automatically tell, okay, it's summertime, I need to up to chlorine dose. I already know how to do the well checks. And it took me 4 hours to do the well checks because I had to write down exactly everything I did. And I didn't think, I had like almost one page, two columns of things that I did, and I would do it within like 15 minutes. But it took me 4 hours to document everything that I did. And also with some of the common failures of the chlorinators. Again, it takes me 15-20 minutes to repair one. And mainly is the clogged plastic injectors that are in the transmission line, the minor leaks that you can't see until you see a white streak going through your t-shirt when you turn the lights on in the middle of the night. And I didn't realize that writing that down and having a manual, because I'm doing all this not only to inform or educate and train the new employees, but it's also a preparation to do an operations manual, and it's very enlightening, personal enlightenment to say, wow, I do all this, and I think for those of you who kind of in jobs where it's a skill job or sales or something, you just automatically do it. you know, and but when you have to write it down, it's a challenge. And other things that I'm going to be doing is some of the more mundane stuff, but it's, again, it's stuff that I don't realize is addresses of all our water facilities. What are the addresses? What if the gentleman on call, when I'm out of town, the alarm company, and said, oh, we have an alarm at the at 15413 Elm Street. That's tank three. And again, that's just something that subconsciously, oh, bing, you know, that's well three. So those are some of the things that we're going to be discussing. And hold on, I'm just sitting there getting my notes. We're going to be opening the recruitment again for the lead person. He didn't. He didn't make the cut, so we're going to reopen and recruit and test and redo the selection process again for the lead. So, and our meter reader guy, employee, he was injured in a he was competing in a dirt bike race or something, and he shattered both of his ankles, and I think he went and saw the surgeon today, and tomorrow he'll go in for surgery, and they're gonna put pins in there, and 2 to 3 months for recovery. And so it's just gonna be myself and one employee again. Well, not again, but at least it's just not me. However, I'm working with Ellie and Ellen are getting an update from Clay's mother and family, and we're trying to gauge when can he come back to work, at least at light duty, because the last time I read meters was probably about 5 years ago, and today having to do shutoffs, it's not only it's an art reading the meters. No, it's an art. If we have no cement or sidewalks, therefore the meters, and then before Calvin, when the crew was just doing their own thing, they would put meters inside someone's property. You would have to call and say, please lock your dog up, because today's meter reading day and you're on my list. With the rain and the moisture we've been having, well, you know, that's weeds. Well, if you don't know where the meter is, you'd be looking for that meter out in this grassy field for hours. And there are just some things that, you know, if you don't use it, you lose it. You know, I'm familiar with Dolores. I'm familiar with Desert Hills, the little housing track over there, because back then the easement went between all the properties. And I think I was just telling Ellie about beating that dog with my clipboard and meter stick last time I was up there. I don't know if that dog still is still there. But so those are some of the things that we're going to go over with. And we had the volunteer come detail the service trucks. I think one of my goal is to have both trucks, my truck and also the other two service truck, and to be basically put together like a police car or a fire engine or any other kind of fleet, where I can say, hey, Alan, go get me a wrench, and he'll know exactly where it is, because all the gear are in the same place. And what got me to think about that is taking Clay's truck, because mine was down for a day, and I couldn't find nothing, because his method of storing his tools is different than mine. And so I think we need to get some formality or some procedures and some standardized design to, you know, store the equipment. Let's see what else is here. Oh, and also, being said that we're lacking a competent backhoe operator, and I'm going to look into it and I'll confer with Steve, but Stan, the general manager of High Valley Water District, he's a backhoe operator, and he had volunteered or offered that he would come down and help us out if we had an emergency and we needed somebody with a backhoe operator. So I don't know if that would be a mutual aid agreement or just some kind of, or it needs to be between the board or just two agencies.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah. But that's also in the mix. So I have some backup on not having a backhoe operator for the time being. We're looking at maybe the first week of September and recruiting, and hopefully we'll have someone on by before the holidays. Okay, and that's my report.
What I myself would like to see, if possible, is, you know, you're dealing with the chlorinators and the wells and setting stuff up, is a list of SOPs, standard operating procedures, along with safe work practices, i.e. dealing with the sodium hypochlorite and so on, so that we do this at where I work. So there's SOPs, there's this, there's that. The other thing I'd also like to see too is some kind of a setup for lockout, tagout. When they're working on something, that it is locked out, tagged out, dried out, blah, 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 blah. So that, and because you're required by law to have toolbox meetings, when they, because they go out every day, blah, 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 blah. So we need to start implementing these things right off the bat so that we don't run into an issue. Well, nobody told me that. I wasn't trained properly. And that will come back and haunt us very bad.
Yeah, any new procedure starting Thursday, I'm going to have these people sign for it, that they acknowledge that they've received, you know, the training and education or briefing. And so that way, yeah, they can't, when I write them up or have, you know, corrective interviews with them, they can't say, well, I was never told.
Are you having weekly safety meetings or bi-monthly?
Bi-weekly is right now.
Okay, and they have to sign in.
Plus me being out there working with them, you know.
Well, this is from personal experience. We have a safety meeting, they sign in. And they don't have the group safety meeting with all three of them, all the office personnel, everything, and go over safety topics, whether it's driving or whether it's walking out the door or whatever. But as long as we keep up this, it fulfills the OSHA requirements for ongoing education as far as safety, and it covers it. I'm protecting mine, but since I'm sitting in the chair here, it'll protect everybody in general. If we have the standard operating procedures, safe work practices, and the safety meetings, this goes towards making sure that something like what happened where I worked yesterday doesn't happen. Three guys may lose their jobs because they failed to follow proper safety procedures, and if something would have happened, they could have been killed.
Yeah, I'm working on all that, and you can ask Zoe if she comes to work every morning. I say, can you please review these, provide me with your input and correct some of my typos?
Yeah. Well, as far as safe working procedures, like going into the pump house, I can, because I'm an electrician and a mechanic and I deal with, I'm a qualified supervisory lock person where I work, I can help with that so that I'll see things that you may not even think about. Mm-hmm. I think that would just be a benefit for everybody in the district.
I think he's volunteering.
That's... I'm going to make an ad hoc safety procedures that might not make me. I would just do it out of the goodness of my heart. It's just because it's just like I've been after you about not going there in the middle of the night by yourself if you have to come with your gun, because I don't want that to happen. I don't want something to happen to you just going like this on the floor.
Well, we're going to re-implement the two-way radios, so when two persons go do the wells, you know, one person's on top, and one, you know, goes down into the well to go look at the, to read the totalizer, and they'll be required to call Ellen, or the base here, and say, you know, we're at well two, and, you know, I have a man going down into the well, plus they all have the sniffers, you know, and if Ellen doesn't hear from them for about 20 minutes or 15 or 20 minutes, she can call out and you know, what she says.
You understand where I'm coming from.
So I'm writing all these procedures down, and just to, I mean, I know it's not a, an excuse or a, at night, if I don't need, if it's not me, I never go down into the boat by myself, but wells, yes. But,
well, I'm remembering a time when somebody told me how they had to open the cabinet up and push the starter to start the pump.
That's in the well house, mm-hmm. not the below
right.
grade,
but
well.
Going in and opening electrical enclosure yeah. cabinets. See, yeah. now I've dealt with this. There's new laws, or not new laws, but there's NFP 70E dealing with arc flash. So in other words, if you have a cabinet and it's got a circuit, molded case circuit breaker in there, you cannot flip that breaker with the doors open unless you're wearing proper arc flash protection. Stuff. So there's these little things that I want to make sure that we're doing. I don't want any problems.
Yeah, that was, yeah, I remember those days. That was pre-SCADA.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we had to physically flip the switches on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the laws are really, they're getting really bad about that. I.e., when I go, there's a sticker on the door that tells me what they call calorie per square meter reading is. And if it's above a certain level, I have to have rubber gloves with leather overs, arc flash face shield, and a cover. And then if it gets to the next level, I have to have long sleeve, fire resistant clothing on. The next level is higher, to the point I actually work with 6,900 volts. And then I'm wearing what we call the moon suit. So you're kind of going, looking like the Pillsbury Doughboy trying to work on stuff with these big doughboy fingers, sausage fingers. So I want to make sure that we're, one, you know, there so you don't have any issues.
So you can expect probably within the next couple months some bills on safety equipment.
Number one priority.
Okay. I will sign the check.
Yeah. Number one priority is the safety. Because that'll cost this district more than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Safety first.
So.
Okay. I think we're all in agreement. We can put that back.
Yeah.
Safety.
Yeah, safety first.
Public comments, no cards. Okay. We're going to go into closed session right now. What's that?
There's a lot of public out there.
Yeah.
I was just trying to take a
drink
from the tap here.
There's
too
much copper in the water.
Hey, yeah.
So I should have taken it out of
tap.
Yeah.
Mr. Duncan, you should come by. You should come by when we have either a rate study or Prop 218.
Well, the whole thing is the school went back, started, and a lot of back to school nights and.
Well, it's been a while since I've been here last, because Allie informed me that she has had a baby, and that the baby's 1 year old. Now, I don't remember her being pregnant the last time.
Well, she doesn't show.
But she doesn't show.
I didn't show at all.
Really good. But congratulations. I just have one comment just to let you know. I'm running for re-election. And so I'm looking for endorsements. So if any of you are interested in getting on my card as an endorsement for me to run for re-election, let me know. And I'll be happy to put you on from Calvin all the way through all the way. Sorry, Ellie.
Are you at large or are you?
No, this is my area.
Okay.
You know, so I have you in High Valley Water and Danny Heights and a couple of other small ones.
What are you running for?
Whiteboard again.
Okay.
Over in the second of the past.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, here comes the public. Hurry up. Hurry up.
That guy.
Oh, quick. Go to closed session.
I already did. I just made the motion.
Are we doing break before?
Yes, you can have a point of privilege.
Yes. I just wanted to take the public talk. So I'm not like all scattered.
Take a couple minutes.
So, Mr. Calvin, did you tell me that you didn't tell us about the water meter?